Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. When God's strength is in a person's heart, they can overcome tragedy. He can turn trials into stepping stones to greater things. Even when we stray, the Lord will bring revival to a rebellious soul that repents, because He is a compassionate and merciful God. Please open your Bible to Psalm 84, verse 5, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of this chapter.
There's all kinds of counterfeit strength, isn't there? Artificial strength. But the strength of the Lord is real. In fact, in the book of 1 Samuel, God is called the strength of Israel. See, He's the real strength of your life and in my life. And in context, that's why Paul in prison says, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengtheneth me. He's in a prison cell. He's not on a beach in Hawaii sipping lemonade. He's being persecuted. And there he's talking about strength. You see, because you and I can have a strength tonight, a strength that is not of this world, a strength that comes from the Lord, walking in His ways. Lord, put within my heart and our heart tonight that hunger, that longing, that thirst for You and for Your ways. That's the only way you and I can make it in this crazy world. Everything else is falling apart. Every other counterfeit strength is going to fall apart. But the strength of God is forever. It's eternal. Notice, blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee, in whose heart are the ways of the Lord, who passing through, this is sweet, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. Now, most scholars identify Baca as being the valley of Bokum that is mentioned in Judges chapter 2, verses 1 and 5. And the word signifies a mulberry tree. And we are told that when the berries of this tree are squeezed, you ever been squeezed by circumstances? Squeezed? Yeah. And the berries of this tree are squeezed. When the berries of the tree are squeezed, the juice that comes out resembles a teardrop. And the root of the word baka actually means weeping. Now, the picture is going to the house of God for a feast or for a festival. And the valley of Baca was an arid place on the way to Jerusalem. And the pilgrims traveling to a festival of worship at Jerusalem would turn that arid valley into a place of joy. It's been said that a barren, dry soul that is watered with nothing but tears becomes a well, and then a pool of water. Why the overwhelming tears? Because they have taken the time and made the time, like you have tonight, to go to a place to praise God who works all things together for good, for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Do you believe that tonight? That turns tears into praise. D.A. Carson wrote this: by God's benevolent care over His pilgrims, the veil of weeping or balsam trees, already transformed by the glad hearts of the expectant wayfarers, was turned into a valley of praise. I talked about being squeezed, and we all get squeezed in many different ways through our lives. And we all go through arid and dry times, don't we? We all do. Those being squeezed and going through dry times and difficult times, those are kind of like non-elective courses in the seminary of life. You don't, Lord, I would like to get squeezed this morning in a little bit of dryness for a few weeks or months. No, they just happen. And yet, when God was leading the children of Israel, He says, I'm going to bring you into the promised land. And then along the way, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, He proved them. And many times when we are being squeezed and when we are dry, those are times when we get to prove the theology that's in our heart. And here they are, making their way again up to the tabernacle, up to the place of worship, going through a valley, going through a hard time, being squeezed, but thinking of the God that they're going to meet, like the God that you have met with in our meeting here tonight. And then he begins to quicken you as you're praising him, as you're thinking about him, as you're meditating about his goodness and his grace and his power. And all of a sudden, the heaviness lifts. The circumstances may not change, but the heaviness lifts. Yes, Lord, you are in control. I'm going to praise you for who you are. I'm going to worship you. And then the tears are flowing, but there's joy in your heart. That's Christianity. That's following Jesus Christ. You see, the reality of living for Jesus Christ is that every single saint is going to experience difficult seasons of tears. But through it all, when we sing praises to our God for who he is, the very presence of God who inhabits the praises of his people turns those tears of sadness into tears of joy. You know what I've been doing lately? I'm not really, really hip on how gadgets work. If you really want a good laugh, ask Pastor Ben. I'm probably about 25 years behind where everybody else is. But I have found that in my car, I can connect my cell phone and it goes through my radio. And I realize I can play praise music in there. And I can crank it. And I can be playing it and cranking it. And I can be driving along. And I can just be singing and worshiping the Lord. And it is so wonderful. I mean, everyone else turns their radio up, right? So I go, boop. He is exalted. He is exalted, oh God. He is exalted, oh God. He is exalted, oh God. And you're at the stoplight, you're looking at, who is this guy with the baseball hat on? And you know when that's more seriously, and you know this, you know when that's when I find it most precious? When times are most tough. When I don't feel like praising him. But deep down in my soul, in this time of being squeezed and arid, Lord, I'm praising you for who you are. And I know that you have got this in control because my times are in your hands. Years ago, a dear saint in the Lord gave me a plaque with a quote from Winston Churchill. I've got it in my office. It says, if you are going through hell, keep going. Now, why, pray tell, they gave me that plaque, I don't know. But I do know. It was at a particularly difficult time, both around the church and things going on in our lives. And I thought, well, that's kind of rude. But then I thought, yeah, you just keep going. Sometimes you're going through hell, right? I mean, do you realize that as a believer, this is the closest to hell you're going to get? You realize that? That's it? If you're a non-believer, this is the closest that you're going to get to heaven? If you're going through hell, keep going. So while I'm going through hell, whatever that may have been at the time and whatever it may be for you tonight, you know what? Just sing. Sing your way through. Sing your way through. Valleys of Baca are the non-elective courses in God's seminary called life. But God is the one who says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we read, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Do you believe that? He's the God of all comfort, not some comfort. All comfort, the God of mercies. You know what mercy is? Not getting what you deserve. That's Calvary, not getting what you deserve. He comforts us in all of our tribulation, all of our difficulties, all of those times when we're being squeezed and pressed and are just overwhelmed. He comforts us in all of our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Going through the valley of Baca and going through that barren place and worshiping God and turning that time of aridness and dryness into a valley of praise. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appears before God. In spite of the toils, in spite of the hardships in the journey, There is strength in drawing near to God, isn't there? Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And many times, if we are not careful, we can fall prey to our feelings or our emotions because I don't feel like drawing strength. I don't feel drawing closer to the Lord. I don't feel like praising him. Most of the time, I'm finding that that's the time when I need to draw near to the Lord. That's when I need to praise him. And you know what? When I take that step of faith, he's always right there. He is always right there. They go from strength to strength. Trusting in God in troublesome times is a source of great strength, beloved. It's a source of strength. O Lord of hosts, verse 8, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Lord, hear my prayer. Give ear. And he does listen. Do you believe that tonight? When you are praying, it's like you're the only one on the planet. He hears you. He hears you. He listens. The Bible says that God bows down his ear to hear. He's the God that listens to our prayers and petitions and supplications. He listens. And you know what, guys? Don't be phony. Just be you. Don't think that you need to pray in King James Elizabethan English. Just pour out your heart to the Lord. Talk to him with all of your heart. This wonderful gift of prayer. Wonderful gift of prayer. Oh, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Now, historically, the king of Israel was the anointed one. Prophetically, the anointed one refers to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our God, and he is our shield. He's your God. He's your shield tonight. You know, you go by the homes and they have the signs out in the front lawn, protected by ADT, protected by all of this. And there's, I think it's a good idea to have a security system, especially in this day and age. But, you know, we're protected by Jesus. And in the Old Testament, one regular angel, one angel named Reuben, just slew 185,000 people. 185,000, one. I mean, like Bob, the angel Bob, or Bill, or Joe, angel, 185,000. And so we are protected by Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that we get careless. That doesn't mean that we, you know, the Bible says the horse is prepared for the day of battle. That's human responsibility, but safety is of the Lord. The Lord protects you. He's your shield. What a shield he is. He told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. And of course, the face, the anointed one, of course, is Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 says, we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 10, oh my, oh my. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful verse. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The doorkeeper literally means, that's what Korah was. I said they were doorkeepers. They were gatekeepers. And they rejoiced in the fact that they were able to just greet people. Now that doesn't seem like a real important job, does it? Greeting. Good morning. Good evening. How are you? Kind of like a menial kind of a service. And yet, they saw that as divine service. So, you know what I was thinking today? If being a greeter in the church is a blessing, what is it going to be like when we step into eternity? Can you imagine? We take our last breath on earth. We say goodbye on earth, and we say hello in heaven, and whoa! Wow! A day in your courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. What a perspective. What a perspective. And we need to maintain that perspective, that eternal perspective. You see, because the world doesn't think that being a doorkeeper in the house of God is better than having some high-paying, high-power job. Doesn't say that. You know, when I came to Christ, I was determined I wanted to be a pro baseball player, but that didn't pan out. So the next thing I'm going to be a rock and roll musician. And I was on the way. We were doing well. And then the Lord saved me. And I don't say that regretfully. He saved me. And I can remember the first time in another church being asked to play drums in a worship band. And I thought, why was I wasting my life in clubs with hundreds and thousands of people? Why? What a waste. I thought, this is so wonderful. And now I'm, you know, and you're getting to serve the Lord, to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord. No comparison. The privilege of being near to God, the privilege of being called to serve Him and wait on Him, outshines and outclasses any other calling on earth. To be here tonight, I can think of places that I used to be when I wanted to be a rock star on a Wednesday night. Oh man, it makes me want to hurl now. It gives me compassion for the people that are still caught in that life, because now I know that I need to be praying for them. But what a joy. The temporal pleasures of this fallen world offer no reward that can even come remotely close to what the Lord gives us when we're in His presence. Verse 11, we're only going to do Psalm 84 tonight, by the way. Verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace, unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor now and glory. Later, glory means that weightiness. Now look at this. You believe this? No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Do you believe that? We're split about 50. 50-50. Because some of you are thinking, I don't know. Wait. I know some good things. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. What a promise to meditate on. If I am walking in fellowship with the Lord, who is my sun and my shield, I can be absolutely assured that there is not one good thing that He'll hold back from me. That's important. Because the enemy always has counterfeit answers to prayer. Beloved, if you're praying for something and things aren't happening the way you think that they should, know this. The Lord Jesus sees what you don't see and knows what you can't know. He sees the big picture. When I look back at my life, I'm so glad that God didn't answer a whole lot of prayers. I'm so glad. I am so, so glad and so thankful that, well, I don't want to go there because it's, let me just say this. I'm really, really glad. Blessed are those that wait upon Him. No good thing will He withhold. You're praying for something. Every one of you are praying for something, some issue, some need, whatever it is. He will not withhold anything good from you when you are walking seriously in fellowship with Him. So whatever that need, whatever it is, God will fulfill it in His way and in His time. Our last verse for tonight. O Lord of hosts, blessed, or oh, how happy is the man that trusts in You. Now, we all have times of doubt, okay? We all have times where we wrestle with things. But having honest doubts is much more different than just doubting God. I've never seen a person happy who doubts God or doesn't believe in God. I've never seen a person who doubts God or is happy. There's a happiness in just trusting the Lord. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you believe that tonight? Now, life is tough sometimes, isn't it? I'm preaching to a choir out here. We've all gone through things that have been hurtful and painful, and why? But this much I can tell you tonight. I've tasted and I've seen that the Lord is good. Life at times might stink, but God is good. He is always good. Blessed is the man that trusts in you. Whatever it is tonight you're wrestling with, struggling with, blessed are you when you trust him. I love Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the day of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What a beautiful promise. Write it down. You've probably got it underlined, circled, highlighted in every color that could ever possibly be. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Lord, I trust you. You are a good shepherd. You are a good father. And I'm trusting you in this situation. I'm trusting you in this area of my life. I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you. And the Bible says the person that trusts in the Lord shall be like a tree planted by water, spread out their roots by the river, blossoming, trusting, hope. Jesus gives us hope. He says, trust me. Trust me, Raymond. The life of faith is a life of trust in God. Every one of us must endure a troubled and dangerous earthly trek on our journey to heaven. Jesus promises us that we're going to have troubles. In John chapter 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And isn't that true? Have you ever had tribulation in the world? Anybody? Sometimes when I read a promise that seems so, wow, that's exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. Is it true, ladies, you that have given birth to a child, does it hurt a little bit? I've been there. Yeah, okay. Ow. Well, the Bible says there's going to be pain in childbirth. And sometimes you just see the obvious promises and the other ones like this. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. And you know what? It's not even that you go out looking for it. It just seems to happen. Life is life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Read it. Every one of us experience Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But Jesus said, in me you have peace. Not in our circumstances. In me, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Cheer up, Raymond. I've overcome the world. We're destined for glory, saints. We're destined for glory. Peter writes this. You greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I know, looking at some of you and hearing some of your stories and talking with some of you and praying with some of you are going through a time of heaviness right now. Many trials. Why? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The purpose for the trial is not to destroy you, but to draw you closer to the Lord. And that when it's all said and done, there will be praise and glory and honor given to the Lord. Amen and amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless His
holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.